evening, if it's all right. I want to tell you about Jesus. Yeah, who you know was heralded by angels on their birthday? Just the Son of God. I saw creation on that first day. Shepherds watching flocks and saw a star that nearly blinded. Little time a kid, I'ma get you in mind. I'm sorry. Can you restart it? What? I'm a preacher, not a rapper. Drop that one more time. You might want to restart that. Yeah, who you know was heralded by angels on their birthday? Just the Son of God. I saw creation on that first day. Shepherds watching flocks and saw a star that nearly blinded. Little star of Bethlehem, just follow and you'll find it. A baby in a manger, the one foretold by prophets. Follow through the night, know the darkness couldn't stop it. Kings made their way and the wise brought me gifts of gold, frankincense and myrrh and praises from their lips. And then we made our way to Egypt because King Herod was hating in the temple. I was teaching them at 12 and I made them jaws drop because I could not stop dropping wisdom. Couldn't believe this little boy from Nazareth could teach them. I grew up as a carpenter. My cousin was a preacher. He dropped me in the waters of the Jordan where he featured. Then God spoke, the Holy Ghost sent me out to preach. The kingdom of God is gonna come just like a thief in the night like lightning. No one knows the time, but people follow me to see that water turn to wine. So I called a couple fishermen to help me fish for men, saying, come follow me, boys, 2 + 10. Then I preached to the masses like a living water fountain. Fed 5,000 on the corner of a mountain. I'm calling out the hypocrites, and I just think they might be offended at my word. Yeah, try to take my life, but in spite of that, I kept on preaching 3 years and saving and healing and wiping up tears. I was casting out demons. I was speaking to the waves. I was calling up dead people out of their graves. I was walking on the water. I would make the lame able. I was teaching to the 12, breaking bread at the table, saying, this is my body, y'all. This is my blood. Take the form of a servant, boys. Do the most good. But one went away because he didn't want to listen. And then he came back to betray me with a kiss. And then 22 feet went running through the night. 3 cuckadoodle-doos, yeah, another denied me. They came with some soldiers. Yeah, they came with some priests. And they came with some chains for my hands and my feet. Then they slapped me with their hands. Yeah, they beat me with their fists. And I asked them, why you gotta beat me like this? But then they took me to the temple in the middle of the night. But the chief priest, he'd already made up his mind. Up to the porch of Pilate, then the crowd from the street yelled, crucify him. And now I wish that I could tell you that this is where it ends, but somehow I ended up in a praetorium and with a cat of nine tails. They tore my skin, and them soldiers, they beat me again and again and again and again and again and again. And as my blood poured out, yeah, I was ready for this to end. Then they put a robe on me. They made me carry this cross to Calvary, and then they held me down on the top of that tree, stretched out my hands, put nails in me. But Father, forgive them each by name, for you so loved this broken world that I came to give my life as a ransom. One time till the blood left my body and my heart flatlined. 3 days and that tomb was abandoned, knocked down my body, but you know I'm still standing. And why you wanna look for the living where the dead is? I'm the resurrection and the life. Like I said, y'all meet me on that mountain for my final admonition. Go and make disciples, that's my great commission. And when you preach the message, don't be stressed if they don't hear. I walk my words and my ways when I waft in my spirit. 2,000 years and my flock's still growing. grace still flowing, wind still blowing wild. I'm on his right side waiting for the time when the dead in Christ rise to meet the Lord in the sky. Beat sin, rise again, you know I did it, and I'm on my way back. Yeah, I'll see y'all in a minute. So in case you haven't figured it out, I want to speak to you about Jesus. He came saving, healing, delivering. He came casting out demons and calming stormy seas and raising the dead. Jesus came. He came proclaiming the kingdom of God to anyone who would hear it. He came preaching repentance. He never once sinned, but became sin for us that we may become the righteousness of God. Jesus, a perfect man who was arrested by the temple, accused by the Sanhedrin, tortured by Rome. He was hung from a splintery wooden cross on the western side of Jerusalem, and all heaven was silent. And Jesus was dead. 3 days later, he rose from the grave with all power and glory. He presented himself to the apostles over a period of 40 days, eating with them and speaking with them about the kingdom. He commanded them to wait for the Spirit who would give them power to be his witnesses to the ends of the earth. And then before their very eyes, he ascended to heaven. His followers obeyed his command to wait. And then they were filled with the Holy Spirit and went out preaching to the ends of the earth the life-changing, soul-saving gospel of Jesus. Helping others to know that in spite of their sin, in spite of their sickness, in spite of their social state, he is the one who invites people into fellowship with God by way of his own plasma, his name, Jesus. So, Romans chapter 15, verses 1 through 7 says, "The strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not please ourselves. Each of us should please our neighbors for their good, to build them up. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it's written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you, listen, the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus has. So that with one mind and one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Verse 7, "Accept one another, then, just as Christ accepted you." So, this passage of Scripture was written by a dude named Paul. And if you look into it, you will find that Paul was basically considered a terrorist to the church. There was a day when it was his mission to destroy anyone who believed in Jesus. In Acts chapter 7, we find him at the murder scene of a guy by the name of Stephen. Later, we find him headed northeast. He's already to blast some believers, arrest them, and take them to jail when Jesus stops him in the road and checks him. Paul is blinded, and he's told that there's only one way for him to be healed from his blindness. He needs to go into Damascus. And there, when he did, he met a guy by the name of Ananias. And Ananias accepts Paul, prays for him, and he's healed. He later meets a guy by the name of Barnabas, who accepts him and becomes his dog while preparing for ministry. But what I want you to catch is that Paul's whole life took a drastic turn, all because he was accepted by Jesus. His acceptance is proven by the very people he was trying to destroy. And now, several years later,
Paul is writing this letter to all the Jesus followers in Rome 2,000 years ago, and the Holy Spirit has used this very same letter for all believers at all times, all the way down to me and you. Are you still with me? Okay, all right. Don't get lost because we're going somewhere and I don't want to lose you. Then I have to come back and catch you again. But Paul basically tells them in this letter, build one another up. Be like Jesus in your attitude. And accept others because you know what it feels like to be on the outside looking in. Now we're going to talk a little bit about Paul every day because we're basically drawing off of his letters during this series. But if Paul were in here today, he would say, stop looking at me. Look at my Savior. It's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. Paul was completely committed to Jesus. He was a fanboy. He called himself a slave to Jesus. He said, I was the worst sinner, a beast, a brute. I should have been assassinated, but instead I was accepted. And now I'll do anything for Jesus. In fact, he went on to say, I want to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made like him in his death so that I can be raised to life. Now, you came here this weekend, and you might have come for many reasons. I've asked a few of you. Maybe you wanted to come just to have fun, to see old friends, or catch up with Boothang. But the lover of your soul is here to cut you off at the pass. Yeah, he's here to meet you like Paul on the road to Damascus, and I hope you're paying attention, because I don't want you to leave here without a better understanding of the words and ways of Jesus. What he says, what he doesn't say. What he does, what he doesn't do. What he likes, what he doesn't like. And some of you are more familiar with Kanye and Common, but it's time to get savvy about Christ. Specifically, his mind. Ask your neighbor, for real, do you have the mind of Christ? What does it mean to let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus? Does that mean that I have to become a lame? That I got to stop doing everything? That I need to be soft? What do you mean? Well, in his letter to the Philippians, Paul said, to have the mind of Christ, it means that you value other people above yourself. That you look after their needs, that you care about what they care about. And actually, Jesus did that very thing for you. That's precisely what he did, because he saw that there was a problem with your sin. That you were standing on the tracks about to get hit by the train. But at the perfect moment, he pushed you out of the way and was himself torn apart by the power of sin. Greater love has no man than that. You have the mind of Christ. You love your neighbor as you love yourself. You accept them. Why? Because when you were so far down that you looked up and you saw the ground, Jesus was right there with you. You know what it's like. When you thought all hope was lost, that maybe you'd end up dead or in jail, maybe you should have, but Jesus was right there with you. You know. When you weren't sure you would even make it another day because of all the stress in your life, Jesus was right there with you. He never left you, not even for a moment. And having the mind of Christ means carrying and caring for other people the same way that he cared for you. You can't be weak and do that. You can't be lame and do that. You can't be soft and do that. Having the mind of Christ is some serious business. Look at your neighbor and tell him it's serious business. No, you said business. That's not what I said. It's serious business. Having the mind of Christ is some serious business. You don't have it, you better ask somebody. Start with Jesus. When you have the mind of Christ, people will notice something about the way you act, that you also have the manner of Christ. What does that look like? Well, that's my favorite part about Jesus. When he ran up on sinful or sick or socially outcast people, his manner was to treat them with dignity and decency. You don't believe me? You better ask somebody. How about start with the woman who was caught in the act of sexual sin? The Bible says that Jesus was teaching in the temple. And as he was teaching, some Pharisees brought the lady who was caught in the act of adultery up to him. And they said, "Master, this woman, she was caught in this sexual sin. Now, the law says that we must stone her until she is dead." And the Bible says that Jesus bent down and he began to write on the ground. And then he stood up and said, "Well, whichever one of you is without sin, you can go ahead and start chucking rocks at her." And they dropped their rocks and they walked away. And Jesus asked the woman, "Where are your accusers?" She said, "No one has condemned me." He said, "Neither do I. Go now and leave this life of sin." You want to know what the manner of Jesus with sinners was? You better ask somebody. How about asking the dude on the cross next to him? They were both hanging on the cross. They were both bleeding out. They were both naked. And he looks over at Jesus and says, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." And you know what Jesus said? "No way." Nope, he didn't say that. He said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Jesus had a very specific way with people who were caught in sin. He had a very specific way with them. And he also had a specific manner with people who were sick. You don't know? Well, maybe we can ask the leper in Matthew chapter 8. The Bible says when Jesus came down from the mountain, there was a leper who came to him and said, "Lord, if you choose, you can make me clean." And Jesus said, "I so choose." And he stretched out his hand and he touched him and he said, "Be made clean." And from that very moment, the man was made clean. That's the manner of Jesus with sick people. We're just talking about his mind and his manners. I want you to know him after this weekend. You want to know what his manner with sick people is? Well, there was a man in Luke 9 who had a little boy who kept having seizures. He said, "Lord, my son, my only child, this demon is attacking him. It causes him to vomit, and sometimes he throws him into the fire." And Jesus took the child, healed him, and gave him back to his father. Interesting, isn't it? The manner of Jesus with sick people. Sick and hurting people, like the man with leprosy, sick and hurting people, like the boy with symptoms of epilepsy, sinners like the woman caught in the act of adultery, sinners like the man on the cross next to him. Jesus had a very specific manner with them. And he also seemed to find people who were socially outcast. Have you ever noticed that? Have you read the Gospels? He always seemed to be attracted to the people who were socially outcast. You didn't know that? How about we ask the guy by the name of Zacchaeus? The Bible says he was so short that he climbed up a tree just so that he could see Jesus coming into the city. Now, Zacchaeus was a tax collector, and in that time, the people hated tax collectors. They were considered traitors, filthy, unclean, not worthy of justice, not worthy of mercy. And as Jesus was walking into the city, he looked up and he saw Zacchaeus in the tree, and he said, "Hey, I'm coming to your house for dinner." Right? And then Zacchaeus got down from the tree, went to his house. Jesus followed him, and all the people around said, "There he goes to have dinner with a sinner." You want to know what Jesus' way was with social outcasts? He one day found himself in Samaria sitting in the plaza, and the lady came up to the well, and he asked her for a drink of water. Now, this lady, because of her ethnicity and because of her activity, she was considered an outcast. She'd had 5 husbands, and she was living with a dude who may or may not end up being number 6, and she was considered an outcast. He asked her for a drink of water. She left the conversation having drunk from the living water. This is the manner of Jesus with the socially outcast. He happens to accept them. socially outcast people like Zacchaeus, people who don't fit in like the woman at the well, maybe even people like me and like you. The Son of Man came to seek what was lost. He said to the people around him, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, it's the sick. It's the sick. And so he came to seek what was lost. He came to set the oppressed free. He came to destroy the works of the devil. He came so that he might take away our sins. And in him, there is no sin. He came to give us life and life more abundantly. Why did he come? He came to give us peace that the world does not understand. He came to rebuild fellowship between God and man and man and man. He came to show and prove God's love for all who would call upon the name of the Lord, and they would be saved. And when we offer our lives to Jesus, he receives us, he accepts us, he commissions us then to show that same preference, that same acceptance of other people who are on the outside looking in. And that's why Paul urged all believers for all time to accept one another, because that's the supernatural outgrowth of being accepted by God. Now, I'm not going to wrestle you to the altar tonight, but I do know that there are some of you here who may be saying, I know Jesus, but I've never really thought about his mind or his manner being in me. I feel like there's something missing, and it begins with me needing to know him better. I want you to know tonight that he longs for a relationship with you. But Jesus is a gentleman. He doesn't barge into your party and break it up and send everybody away. Rather, he says in Revelation 3:20, I stand at the door and knock. He will not come without an invitation from you. If you are bold enough to accept him, he will be Savior enough to accept you. And tonight, you can begin the journey of growing in him and knowing him better. You might be saying, oh man, I got to get my life cleaned up. I got to get my life cleaned up before I come to Jesus. I just want to remind you of his manner with broken people. He does not cast them away. He does not say, go and get right and then come back. In fact, the opposite. He says, come, give me your ashes and I will give you beauty. Would you come tonight? And tonight, you can begin the journey of walking with Jesus, giving him control. Now, some of you, you've never even really heard of Jesus tonight. You've pictured him like some distant God far away. But I want to let you know, he is not a God far away. He is a God close beside. And it's you. Those of you who's never heard of him, those of you who've never accepted him into your life, it's you that he wants especially. He wants you to know that he gave his life for you, and that every bad thing that you've ever done in your life can be washed away from God's sight, making you pure and clean and spotless. All you have to do is say, Lord, that is exactly what I want. And he will provide that for you. Would you stand with me as we prepare to close? You have the opportunity all weekend, every night, we're going to close with an altar call, a time of prayer. But tonight, if you've seen Jesus in a new way, If you've learned something about his mind, his manner, and you say, I want to be in close fellowship with that. I don't want you to worry about the people that you came with, the folks to your left or to your right. I want you to come and pray with me at this place. Now, it's not a whole lot really special about an altar like this. It's some wood and it's covered with some carpet and it's fancy for kneeling. Apart from knees on it, apart from people seeking Jesus on it, it's nothing special. It's faith that makes this place sacred. And so today, you have the opportunity to come. Would you come?